Hi, this is Brad Harris, host of the Legacy Mindset Podcast. Thank you for joining us. What is legacy mindset? You see, most people are trying to go from survival to success without ever thinking of the next level, which is significance or your legacy. So in this podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to go through those three levels. We're going to talk about the three mindsets to get you to that pinnacle, which is significance or your legacy. But before we get started, I'd like to ask you a favor. If you could share this podcast with either your friends or your family or post it on social media, that would be greatly appreciated. And that's how we can get the word out. Okay, great. Now let's get started. Welcome everybody to the Legacy Mindset Podcast. I'm Brad Harris, your host. Great to be back with you. Here we are in November, in the middle of November. It's just incredible. The guys just came and did my leaves. That's so you kind of get an idea in Kansas City where I live. They just blew all my leaves and all that. So it's that time of year. All the leaves are falling. It's kind of a pretty time of year here in Kansas City, but it's just great. I love this time of year. The only problem is I know in another month and a half, winter time's here, but I'm super grateful and just love it. Well, guys, I'm really excited. Super excited. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm super excited about my guest today. So you don't have to listen to me talk for the next hour. And so you get to hear someone else, and I'm really excited about who I'm going to bring on. Some of you, my listeners, you know her. You've been around her, so you know a lot of you don't know her. And so, just kind of set you guys up listening. This is a girl that came into Pam and I's lives when she was 22. I'm 22 years old. This is probably, I don't know, she'll tell you, I think, I don't know, it's probably about 11, 12. She'll tell you 12 years ago, around there, came into our lives. We needed a business assistant. She came into our business. Never dreamed, guys. It's so funny too. Never dreamed in my life that, you know, you hire somebody, you bring somebody in, that they're going to be a major part of your life. Major part, not only your business life, but your family life, your kids' life, your grandkids' lives, everybody's life. So it's just, she's been a major part of our lives, but you've got an incredible story too. Has an incredible story. So today what we're going to do with her, you know, she's going to come on. She's going to share her life with you, super successful in her business. And then she's going to talk about personalities. I want you to get your notepads out. You'll need a notepad. So if you're driving or something, you can listen to her for the first maybe 15, 20, 25 minutes as we talk. But then we're going to really get in some fantastic training on personalities, which I think is one of the major things that we need to learn. And we deal with people. And if you're in a business, you deal with people. If you're in a family, you deal with people. And so we need to learn people. And you've heard me talk many times on this podcast. I think that's the number one skill that you need to learn is work with people. So, okay. So I'm not going to take any more of her time. So I'm going to bring her on. I'm going to let her introduce herself. It's funny. We were just talking before. I detect she's a little bit nervous. She's like, well, what I do, what I say, it's like, girl, calm down. Let's just talk. Just be you. She's a fantastic speaker. And once we get her in the groove here, she'll be fantastic. So here's my great friend, Miss Alexis Pelfrey from Kansas City, Missouri. And she'll tell you where she's exactly from. But Alexis, are you there, girl?
Yeah, Brad, I'm here.
So got to set you up there in that. But I know when I asked you last week, I love you because of when you ask you like, hey, you want to do this podcast? You got jacked up about it. You're like, yeah. So anytime that you could, this is your jam. This is why you're going to be so good with the listeners here and they're going to love you. So Alexis, kind of like, let's just dive in. Like I said, I met you at 22. Yeah. So I can tell the guys a story that I know from 22 on to now, but I want you guys to share a little bit about you and we'll kind of jump in here and get it all started. Okay.
Okay, sounds good, Red. Thank you for having me. I'm really grateful to be here. What an honor. And you got me a little choked up there. So really grateful to be a part of your family and, you know, just know everybody that way. So yeah, I'll just, you know, share my quick long version of my story, you know, and interrupt me whenever you have a question, but let's dive in. So I'm actually in Raymore, Missouri, so outside of Kansas City, but I grew up as a military child. So we moved lots of places, lived lots of places, lots of different schools. You know, I actually went to kindergarten and first grade in Germany. That's where my sister was born. And I lived in the Bronx, New York with my grandparents. And spent summers in Tennessee and right outside of Knoxville.
Germany, so, New York, and Tennessee. Yeah. Okay. No wonder you got a personality. Okay.
Yeah. A little mix of country and city. Yep, exactly. Actually my parents met in the military. So they're both service men and women, and they both served. And my dad, actually a little bit of a troublemaker. He's got a gregarious personality, but a little bit of trouble. He, when he was 18 and the town that he was in and where he was at the time and what era it was, I have a little bit of an older dad compared to my friends too. But he was given a choice, either jail or military at 18 years old. Yeah. Wow. Really? So he chose military, and he's served 22 years, but he did meet my mom along the way. And my mom was brand new boot camp. She went for more of the schooling. She wanted the education. She was very studious. Very astute, very smart, loved education. And she got pregnant pretty quick, right away. I was born actually in Fort Bliss, Texas. So I've been all over the place. Wow. Fort Bliss, I lived there for a little while. My mom said I didn't even meet my dad until I was later and a little bit older, a couple of months old. Met my dad and he was like passed out in the front yard with his buddies when I met him the first time. Wow. So he does have a couple other kids from other, you know, marriages and all that. So we have a lot of big blended family. So we moved around, like I said, everywhere. We've lived a lot of different places. My dad struggled with alcohol abuse, just partied, just, he says that it was given to him in the military. So he just, that's what he knew. That's what he did. And knowing his story and how he grew up and how his dad was, I understand now, you know, his struggle with that. My parents fought about money, sort of a low middle class. They were MPs. So, you know, not a good money in the military, and fought about money, things on credit cards. My mom would leave sometimes and come back and leave again. And so it was just sort of stressful, a little chaotic. and my mom actually, even though studious in education, was a little bit of a hippie, a little bit free spirit. I might get some of that from her, festivals and that kind of stuff. She got caught with marijuana in her car, a lot of it, abundance amount of it, and got sent to jail. Wow. So she went to jail for a couple of years.
And how old were you? How old were you at that time?
Five.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember her getting arrested. I don't remember much else, but I remember that. And, you know, parts of my story, Brad, I just want to, not a disclaimer, but kind of, some parts of my story are heavy. But I've done a lot of healing and coaching and counseling, you know, just to share with you today, you know, because like I can share openly and vulnerably because I've healed a lot of it. And I just hope to inspire other people, no matter what level of trauma, you know, kind of things that we go through. But this part, you know, it gets interesting. So we had my dad struggling, you know, with substance abuse, and my mom's in jail, and the person that they had come stay with us was actually a child molester and manipulator, and not a good situation for me. So that was happening while my mom was gone. And I was trying to get my parents' attention, scream out, call out for help. I was having behavioral issues in school, problems with authority, but you know, I was hurting and I was in pain. And this is my first attempt at suicide, Brad.
Mm. So and this is what age? What age is this?
6 or 7.
Okay. Right. Wow. At that age. And you can remember this.
I do remember this moment because my family was playing cards. My dad was dating someone new. I don't know if my parents divorced while she was in prison. I don't know that part of the story, but my family, my dad and his new girlfriend, now stepmom, now his wife, were playing cards with a bunch of people, and the abuser was gone. And they had threatened me that they were going to hurt me if I told anyone what was going on. Wow. So I was scared for my life. But I grabbed a knife out of the kitchen and I just screamed. I don't know if anyone can feel the sense of like, you're in a crowded room and you're screaming and no one can hear you.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's where I was. Got my dad's attention. We got the abuser to go to jail. They got arrested. They go to jail. My mom gets out of jail. And my stepmom and I are just having a hard time. So my mom's in and out of my life. She just came out that she was gay at this time. So just came out that she was a lesbian. So that was interesting for our family. But my mom said at the time that I was the first one to accept her. and say, it's okay, mom, like whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. And my stepmom and dad married and we just struggled. We just fought. She was disciplined. My dad was no discipline, Brad. I mean, just nothing. Like, he didn't care about anything you did, no rules. And she was very cold and uncomplimentary, I would say. Very critical. If anyone's been raised by a parent that's super critical, it is challenging on my kind of spirit, you know?
That's interesting. Like, you talk about, you know, you said your dad didn't care. You know, sometimes you kids, you know, I used to talk to my son Tyler and stuff. It's like, he's like, you're always so hard. You know, the other parents don't care what their kids do. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You know, now if you talk to Tyler, he was happy that I was that way, but because I loved him, I cared. It's like, it's almost like you said, that's you're wanting that kind of discipline.
Mm-hmm. You do.
It seems cool at the time. Yeah, I can do whatever I want, but that's interesting, yeah. Huh?
It is, because I could do whatever I wanted with my dad, and he did care, but in a different way. He was just all love, but no rules, no regulations, you know, I could do whatever I wanted, but kids crave structure and discipline. You know, I really believe that. She was undiagnosed bipolar at the time, we find out later. So that is in and of itself is a hard disease to have and a hard disease to live with. So mm-hmm. you just never knew what you were going to get. Very walking on eggshells. You never knew from one day to the next, very critical of me, hard on me at the time. That's how it felt, you know, and I knew she was doing the best that she could do too. But I did feel like the black sheep, Brad. I felt like I didn't belong in this family. Mm-hmm. I know people can relate to that feeling, but my family had a sense of settling, sense of like, this is just the way it is. It is what it is. What, no sense of dreaming or, you know, and I just was like, I had this sense of ambition. I had this like drive. I just felt so different. I didn't want to come home and watch TV for hours. I wanted to go do, be, have, and my family just wasn't like that. And my dad used to say, you're just spirited, Alexis. People don't know how to take you. And so,
you know, it reminds me of a book. It's like a book. I forget the book. It's got the feather in it, but I can't remember. The Dream Giver.
So good.
Remember, he doesn't know. He knows he needs to go outside.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
It's like that. It's like it's inside of him and he knows it. And I need to go. And that was in you.
Yeah, it really was.
I think it's in all of us, don't you? Think that all of us, have that?
Yes.
It's something like, I want to be the best that I can be.
Yeah, I think so too. I think some people just become settled with it or give up, you know, or something like that. And I just didn't. I hadn't reached that point yet.
That's that spirit in you. That's that spirited. That's where your you know, a little bit of your rowdiness, your little bit of your want to break the rules and all this kind of stuff that, you know, as I met you. And so it's like, that's that side of you wanting to be mm-hmm. who you could be, knowing that you could be better. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I loved my family. I do love my family, but very different. And
no, I met your dad. He's great. Dad's a super awesome guy. I mean, awesome. Hearing this story, we're judging him in his time. We were just talking about before the show started. It's like people in that time, we didn't have a manual. We don't, sometimes it's like in the military and this and moms and separated families and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And he's got his own, you know, background, and his dad was an alcoholic. So mm-hmm. he's super great now. We've healed a lot and he's definitely one of my biggest champions and fans now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, but challenging at the time. I mean, I had it, my dad used to say I had champagne taste on beer budget. Mm-hmm. And so this sort of, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, you know, put everything on credit cards. And I just didn't want to live that life, Brad. I had this desire for more and I didn't want to fight about money. It was like, I don't know where I got that from. So I was like, okay, well, my only saving grace was sports. So my dad was actually kind of an athlete too. My mom was a super athlete. She did have scholarships to go play volleyball and basketball, and she played in high school. So I had that in me. And that was my saving grace. I think that like output of energy really helps release aggression, you know, release energy or something. Cause I was a little rebellious. I was a good student, but I had a little bit of backtalk. I had a little bit of behavioral issues, a little bit of problems with authority. I would challenge teachers, and not always in the best way, you know? So, but I played soccer. I ran track. I loved sports. I worked my whole life, Brad. So I was just thinking back. My first job, I think I was 10 and I was babysitting. So that's a common one, you know, but I babysat for many families, multiple families. Then I worked for the newspaper. I wrapped and rolled newspapers and threw newspapers on my bike.
You're really dating yourself there, girl. So
yeah, I know.
Everybody thinks you're only 25, so now they know.
Myself. Oh no, I did, but it's okay.
That's okay. That is cool, though. Yeah, I remember rolling papers because I used to help a friend of mine do that. I could remember that rubber bands. Yeah.
Yeah, I was helping a friend too. Yeah. So that's funny. Oh man, I just dated myself. Oh goodness. Well, here's another one. I also worked in the shoe department in Sears. I don't even know if those are around anymore.
Oh my goodness.
Here's another one for you. I also worked at Blockbuster.
Wow. But once again, a pattern. You constantly work and you're constantly wanting. You're just not the normal girl. Not the normal girl.
I always worked hard. I would go from soccer to work. You know, I just worked. I didn't want to be at home either. Sometimes people can, you know, relate to that. I just didn't want to be at home. So I also worked for a lady who owned her own business, which I think planted the seed for what, you know, comes up later. But I worked for a lady who owned her own business. It was like a tanning spa. I pretty much ran the thing and I was 17 years old. So I loved it. It was amazing. I think that planted the seed to own my own business. So, you know, kind of fast forward a little, I'm playing soccer. I think I'm going to be Mia Hamm, Alex Morgan these days. I'm not that good. And I have to come to terms with that, you know? So I'm playing soccer at a local community college with a scholarship, which is great. My mom was happy because she's all about education, but nobody else.
Where are you living at right now? So we went from Germany to New York to Texas. Where are you living at when you're talking right now?
I forgot to say this. Yeah. Kansas. So I
live in Kansas.
My dad in Kansas because he was retired in Leavenworth, Kansas.
Okay. So he had military. So he retired in Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where I went to high school. I mean, I liked it. It was all right. You know, I did the best I could, played sports. I had one fight where I got out of school suspension. Yep. People don't know that about me.
You punched somebody?
I fought someone, Brad. So it was actually my bully in high school. It was my sophomore year. She was super mean to me. And one day she had opened up my locker. Maybe I left it unlocked. She was reading about my mom and that was deeply personal. And I wasn't happy. So we started fighting. And all I can remember about, this is so weird. I can remember, you know, I remember very specific things. So I remember in the principal's office, me and the girl are sitting next to each other. We're both bloody. And my dad walks into the office and he's so mad. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm praying. And my dad's like, who started it? I'm like, she did. He goes, okay, fine. You're all right. Let's go. No.
That just brought back like a flashback.
Really?
With you and me and that one girl, one lady in the office at our business, guys, at our business. I have Alexis back here with a lady and they're fighting cats and dogs.
Oh, God.
And I'll remember that. And I'll remember like that's just like the exact same. It's like, Alexis, you need to apologize to her. You're like, no. It's like,
it's you asked me to give her a hug. And I was like, give her a hug.
You're like, no. It's like, that's where you got all that from. So it's like, Okay. We won't go there. We'll go there later, maybe. So, okay. So,
yeah, but just, I mean, I have that side to me, right? I'm super loving, compassionate, but I'm feisty. I'm spicy. Yeah.
That's why I love you. You're just like Pam, my wife. Yeah. You know, you guys are the same way. Pam had working when she was 10. You guys are always going against the grain,
Yeah.
It's just like, we need people like you out there, too, that's pushing the limits. It's like, you know, me, I'm more like boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, people like you, just incredible. So go ahead.
I was never one for following the rules. I definitely believe in rules are meant to be broken, which we'll talk about later in personality. Yeah. So that's good. So I'm still in Kansas playing in a local community college. I'm, you know, you're taking your general eds, but I liked psychology and business. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was actually modeling as well. So I worked for a company named Wilhelmina. So some people don't know that. And I was acting. So I was doing commercials. I was mostly doing hair commercials for local Kansas City. Modeling was really hard for me, for my personality. So it was very critical. I mean, they would call you out in front of people. You need to lose 5 pounds. That looks terrible. You look fat. I mean, it was just, it's grueling. It's a very grueling arena. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I didn't, I mean, I remember you saying about that. But that's, and you see, you don't take well to that. We'll talk about that as we get into personality.
Yeah. I really, hats off to the people that do that, because they can really receive criticism, and some people do that, you know, well and succeed with that. But that was hard on me. But I liked acting, actually. So I liked doing some of that stuff. I thought maybe I'll go into acting. Like, that was kind of a thing I thought about for a little while. I actually moved into my own apartment. I was 18 years old. So I lived on my own, and have had a boyfriend for 3 years at this point. And I have a job that is working with kids. So I work before and after school, but mostly like summer camp kind of thing. It was actually really fun. And that's what made me kind of think, maybe I want to do teaching. So if anyone's ever feel lost at like what they want to do, you know, that age is tough. 19 years old. You're just trying to figure out your purpose, find your purpose. So anyway, I'm playing soccer and my mom's sick, and my sister and I go to take a trip to New York. This is 2005.
So your mom still lives in New York and you're living in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're living with your dad.
Yeah. She kind of lives multiple places, you know, off and on. I'm not even sure. Sometimes she did live in Kansas, then she would move. So the story is when she was on, she was great. My mom was amazing. But she was just so in and out. When she was gone, she'd be gone for 6 months or 3 months, or, you know, just a sort of inconsistent parenting, but also probably doing the best that she could do too, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My mom's great. So we fly to New York, she's in hospice. So I didn't know at the time that that was the end. I didn't understand that really. But she was pretty bad at this point. And I was really angry because I felt out of the loop with how bad she was. I didn't feel like people were telling me. Her family kept it very secret, very private, I felt. And when we came back from Kansas City, she died the next day.
Oh.
So I love that she waited. I think she said bye to my sister and I, you know, kind of choked up for her. But I didn't take it well. So I was grieving. I was having a really hard time, Brad. I just didn't have
this
the tools.
This is 18.
Yeah.
Right, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't have the tools, you know, I didn't have the people, the inner circle, the community. I didn't have the mindset. And I think this is where I become maybe a product of my environment, and I start partying and drinking, and I've never been that way. I had never really participated in that in high school, but I didn't want to deal with what was going on. And I think stuff was coming up, you know, from the past. This was a hard death for me. I think you said it to me before. It was like unfinished business, or, you know, it wasn't a super great relationship. So there was unanswered questions, and so I lost my scholarship. I stopped going to school. I lose my boyfriend. I lose my job. And I'm rock bottom, 19 years old. Yeah. And I just felt alone, if people can relate to that. And maybe all these things don't happen this way or this level, but the aloneness, I think people can relate to.
Yeah.
I was couch surfing. I didn't have an address. I wasn't talking to my family. I was mad at my dad. I was mad at my stepmom. I was mad at my mom's family. And I just wanted to be around people that didn't ask questions. You know, nobody knew. So the people I was partying with and hanging around, nobody knew that my mom had just died. So, you know, this part of my story is going to, you know, potentially where I have left out before, Brad, because of this shame or different things that come with this part, but I've healed and I'm really in a good space with this at this time because of where it was, you know. But the girl that's couch I was sleeping on, she was like, "You owe me money, girl. You need to give me some money." There, you know, I have been mooching off of her, and she introduces me to this guy that owns a club and it has dancers in it, and not the ballerina kind. And we actually start dating, if you will, dating quotations, instead. And he's probably in his 40s, Brad, and I'm 19. and he seems wealthy and has it together and has a new car and all the things. And he starts paying for everything, paying, you know, my rent and my car and paying for food and alcohol and drugs, and everything was accessible. I come to find out I'm not the only girl, if you can imagine. Right. It was shocking and devastating to me, but I wanted to break up. I caused a big fight. We had a big fight. As you know, I'm kind of feisty and spicy, and it was not good. He said I owed him $40,000.
Wow.
In back pay.
Wow. Wow.
And I was like, I didn't even know you were keeping track. We were dating. Like, what? Oh, who dating. Does that? Yeah. So he
Pam owes me about $1.2 million. So I'm just kidding, guys. So strike that from the message.
No, it's good.
I owe her $1.2 million, probably. She started the business.
Yeah, no. She started the business. That's right. On a more serious note, he threatened my life. I mean, he was very threatening. He said he was gonna hurt me, kill me. I mean, threatened my life. So here's my second attempt at suicide. So some of my family doesn't know this part. I overdose on pills and I go to the ER and they pump my stomach. And obviously I didn't take enough and I still have purpose with God, you know, on this earth. He's not done with me yet.
Oh yeah.
And I've come to and he's there. The boyfriend, the club owner, and I can't believe he's in the room. I don't know who I thought was going to be there, but he was there. And he said that if I tried this again, he would make me suffer for the rest of my life, that he would not let me die or let me kill myself, but he would do horrendous things. Wow. So I was scared. I was really scared and I needed my family and I didn't want to go to them. So I numbed myself. You know, I was on substance abuse and I worked off and danced for him. It took me 5 months to pay him off. He took all of my money outside of my bills. And during this time, I was doing a movie through my modeling company to look normal, to have a normal job, kind of. I mean, movie's not really a normal job, but I wanted something that I could tell my friends and family I was doing if they asked questions. But I will tell you, this movie, most people don't know, I did a full-length movie.
Really? Full length.
It's called Change of Life. You can find it on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
I go late and you're on it.
I'm on it. So serious. Angel, yeah, he's going to write this down.
I've never known this stuff. Okay, Change of Life. Okay.
So Change of Life was about a Kansas City guy. He was a anti-gay. He was horrendous. He would show up at gay people's funeral and pick at their funeral. And the movie producer wanted to do a movie about him and how he's ruined families and what he's done for families. So I was the main lead actually in this movie. I read for a smaller part and I got the main part. And I'm telling you, Brad, I actually loved it. It was a fun, I laughed on set. I had a good time and we dedicated the movie to my mom. So it was just powerful, but that's what was going on at that time. So I pay off my debt. I try to get out of this relationship, but I'm scared. Like, I think this guy is going to kill me. So the good thing is he never knew my real name. So back to that guy, he never knew my real name. So I could leave and get out of here and get out of this situation. The guy I was dating at the time was abusive, trying to break up and leave that apartment and leave him. He hit me so bad that my family actually came and got me and packed up all my stuff and moved me home to my dad's.
Wow.
So back to my dad's. I'm 21, just about to be 22, and I get sober and I lose all those friends. I don't talk to any of those people, and I vow to myself that I'm never going to share this story.
Wow.
Because of what people think about me or losing respect. Or, you know, even feel alone again, you know? So I didn't share to avoid the feeling of alone, but I want to start fresh, you know? And I have some healing to do with my dad and my stepmom and, you know, grateful for the roof over my head and the, you know, whatever they did give me, and that I'm ready to do something else with my life and start, you know, going a different direction. So I'm waitressing. I do, this is a part of my story where I have jumped to this part of the story before, because you know, just the heaviness of that and, you know, some healing I needed to do around that story. But I start working in an Italian restaurant and Barnes and Noble, and I'm searching for my purpose in my life and the direction, Brad, and I'm listening to Oprah and she's talking about finding your purpose. And I'm like, okay, here I am, overweight. I've gained weight. I'm uncomfortable in my skin. I don't feel good. I'm making $1,000 a month when I just paid off $40,000 in 5 months. I'm like, I'm broke. So I'm driving this hoopty car. And I actually start searching online for what I want to do. And a nutrition assistant ad pops up. So this is where I meet you and Pam.
Wow.
So I walk in Casey Nutrition, you know, Brad, and I could just feel it. It was like I belonged there. And I just could feel this sense of hope and family. Mm-hmm. And I met Pam and she was so angelic and sweet and kind and genuine. And she made me a shake and tea and she was just so servant-like. And I needed that. I needed that spirit. That motherly spirit was really good for me, you mm-hmm. know? And then I met you. I was a little intimidated. We sit down and you just start drilling me with questions. And I'm telling you, Brad, it's crazy to think because I had such low self-esteem and so beat up by the time I had met you, but I wanted this job so bad and I didn't even really know what it was. But you asked me if I loved my shake and tea. Yes, if I would be willing to talk to people about this. You asked me how much money I wanted to make. And I said $1,000 and you were like, is that a joke? Like really, that's what you want to make all month long? And I was like, oh, or maybe I get a new car. Maybe I could travel and go to Paris. And you're like, there we go. Now we'll start getting mm-hmm. to something and dreaming again, you know? And I was like, wow, you need an assistant. So I left that job. I screamed and called my dad and said, Dad, I got the job. And he's like, great, what are you doing? I was like, I have no idea. But I got to go get Excel for Dummies from Barnes and Noble because he talked about Excel and I don't know how to do that.
So good.
But I wanted this job, Brad. And I will say, I did fib to you. Like I could do it. You asked me if I could do Excel and PowerPoint. And I was like, yes. Yes, I can do it because I'll say one of my superpowers, now that you guys have heard some of my background and story, is I believe everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
I really believe that. Yes. And I know that I could figure it out. And so I was like, I can figure out Excel, right? I could do this. I can get this job, but we'll worry about that stuff later. So
good, Alexis. You know, and it's like, of course, when I met you, of course, having no idea, okay, all this story background, but there definitely was, when I met you, it was just, you know, you could see a little, you know, pretty girl, looks like she got it together, coming in the door, great smile. Okay. But you could see that you were not confident in yourself. Mm. And you could see that. I could see that real quickly. Yeah. And so when I started working with you, and so it's like, but you did have this, you know, you would get through whatever has to get done. Right.
Yeah.
You know, the old, you know, our mentor, right? Mark Hughes, fake it till you make it type attitude. And so it's like you had this, you know, amazing, of course you were amazing with people. And so amazing with people. And that was incredible. So, but what a story. And I think everybody listen to this, right? As you see her coming through all this, right? And, you know, all this whole story, you know, time after time getting knocked down, but always getting back up. I think as a key component in your story, getting back up, getting knocked down, getting back up, getting knocked down. And then come to a point in your life, you know, where you came into Pam and I's life and our whole business life, which was perfect for you, which was totally perfect for you. And coming into our business. And then, like I said, we had that family atmosphere. You know what I mean? My dad was in the club at the time. Yeah. It was me and my dad, Pam. You know, my mom was there at that time.
Your son, Tyler.
Tyler was in there. Yeah. So it was definitely a family atmosphere at that time. And she just fit right into that family. Next thing you know, she's coming to Thanksgiving with us. Next thing you know, she's, you know, we just, you know, Pam was always person. She brings every person in, right? So Pam's bringing you in and really, like I said, and you can start seeing you just flourish when you have that kind of support.
Yeah.
You know, we were a Christian family. We started introducing that to you and it's just like amazing to see your growth And I hear that, like I said, and it's like, you never know when you're meeting somebody. You absolutely never know.
Yeah.
Where they come from and what their background is.
Everyone has a story. And I think that gives me a limb of compassion for people.
Yeah. And I see that with you in your business today with people, something like Alexis. I don't know about that person. It's like, but that's Pam too. Pam comes from that background too. And so it's like, you guys have that specialness. And so that's super awesome.
Well, I was a terrible assistant, as you know. So that wasn't in my wheelhouse at the time. So once we figured that out, I turned to coaching, and I was coaching in our nutrition club. And like you said, I loved people. I had great results. You wanted me to share my results with people. I, you know, dropped body weight. I was feeling good. I call it like moxie. So I was feeling that, like, maybe that confidence was coming back a little bit. And I love the fake it till you make it. I know people don't love that line, Brad, but I love the fake it till you make it because of, you know, we love conversations about subconscious and conscious mind, but that subconscious mind believed I wasn't good enough. But if I faked that I was good enough long enough, my subconscious mind would know that I am good enough and it would become real. You know what I mean? So it was like, that's what I did. So started coaching, loving on people, building my clientele, building coaches, building our organization. We opened up 7 nutrition clubs and got to 6-figure income in like the second year in our business. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. Flying high, you know, making more money in a month than I made in a year. Like, it's just crazy. So it was a good time. It was a good, you know, building relationships, traveling the world with you and Pam and all the people that are on our team. So, you know, and I've always loved psychology and self-development, and I'm superpowers a student. I'm eager to learn and I just want to learn. But
I remember that. So that's when I knew we really had something here, guys, is because we used to do these meetings on a Saturday, right? And so sometimes I would do this stuff on personal development, right? You know, like I do today, guys. And so it's like, I'm doing this personal development, I'm going over stuff. And I go, yeah, this is a program I'm taking. It's like an 8-10-12 week program that I'm doing. And Alexis is like on the front row. This is Saturday morning too, very early. And I can tell she was tired because she would come in, she's tired. So she's still, you know, Saturday morning, right? And so, but she's sitting on that front row and she raises her hand. She always raises her hand. I don't know where she be like,
I don't know where I get that from.
She raises her hand. And so it's like, Alexis, she goes, could we do that program every week here for the next like 12 weeks? And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, would you do that program? And I'll come every week. And I'll never forget that. And of course, then the whole person, people in the crowd, they were like, yeah. And she was like the leader of that. To do it. I had never had nobody ask me that question, like the personal development side, teach me the marketing plan, teach me the stuff. And so, but you were like so into personal development. And that's when I knew it's like, wow, me and her are going to hit off.
Yeah.
And so, because you were just, I mean, you were a student of that and you wanted, you were just unquenchable to learn.
Absolutely.
And still this day you are. I mean, me and you go on the phone together, but end up going off somewhere.
I know, somewhere else. Yeah. Somewhere the hours later.
In personal development, no matter what it is. But
yeah,
it just, you had that unquenchable thirst for that. And that goes back to, remember, you said you were young, something yearning, something yearning. And you still have that today.
Yeah.
That, that kid-like.
Childlike sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I love to be around kids, because they remind me of the present moment.
Yes.
And they want to know, they want to learn, they ask questions, they're curious, they're playful. And I think that adults lose that as we, you know, get older. So,
you know, I'm studying this Jim Quick. I was telling you the other day, this Jim Quick program. And so I'm kind of going deeper into it, but he talks about the reason why kids can learn so fast, because they can learn languages and learn so many things, right? At 4, 5, 6, 7. He said, because they're playful. If you get your mind in a playful state, he said, you can learn.
Yeah.
So you have to get, that's why, like, he teaches, you know, superheroes and all that kind of, act like Wonder Woman, act like, you know, Spider-Man. If you do that, you'll learn so much more.
Yeah.
It's just incredible, that playful state. And you definitely had that personality, a playful state. And that's just awesome. Totally.
I get that from my dad. I think he's very, he still has that playful sense of, he has all the Disney movies and he just, he's just a kid. Yeah.
And he's a big kid. No, he is. And I met him. He's a big kid. He loves football.
Yeah.
You know, he's still into that, you know, rivalry in Tennessee.
Tennessee
and
football. Yeah.
It's like, but that's playful. That's fun.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's super, super cool. Okay. So here we are. So now we start doing business together. You start to process, you started, you know, you start to be successful. But then we started seeing things in your life that mm-hmm. seemed like hard people would come in your life. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tough people. It's like tough people to Alexis. You know what I mean? She's always calling. It's like, these people. Okay. And we start on this journey of, in fact, we go to St. Louis together, right? We go to St. Louis, me and you, and I think it was Cheryl.
Yeah.
Forget who else. Pam went.
Pam went, yeah.
And I forget who else was in the car with us. But we go down and we see what? Danny Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe to kind of take it from there. So, and what we saw there and kind of that thing, because this is like a personal development journey. So Amber Wick was there. Larry Holsey was there. There was a bunch of other leaders there.
Just being in this environment around like-minded people that are just as eager. I loved that. But I really honed in on this personalities because that was such a gap for me. You know, personal development was a gap for me in my business, knowing that I needed to work internally. I needed some more self-awareness, but also social awareness. I needed to learn how to work with what I considered or perceived as a hard personality or opposite personality. So when she started to teach this, I just soaked it up. It's just one of those things that, like, I took all the notes. I went home. We talked about it all the way home on the car. And I started to teach it all around, you know, our business and, you know, on other calls for other teammates and traveling, you know, around and teaching it. And I just loved it because of what it taught us, at least at the basic fundamental level, Brad, of, you know, personality differences and, you know, loving people where they are and understanding where people come from and what they're motivated by, you know, really intrigued me. So since we're a business of people, I needed to figure that out. So.
No, definitely. And I think because in your personality, which you'll describe, but your personality is very, okay. So you'll talk about it, but you're a sapphire personality, but also that personal development side of you, because you talked about it earlier, you didn't take criticism well. You didn't take stuff well. So this is the thing that I've really seen. Your growth has been absolutely unbelievable. Okay. It's like you had to learn, okay, that when people are tough on you and criticize you and be on you, which is happening all your life, right? So that was a trigger for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I've seen such a growth in you with this. And of course, the personalities allows you to understand people, why they're doing that to you.
Yes.
Why are they being so mean to you? Sometimes she's so mean to me, used to say. It's like, yes. And so it's like, so this is really, really good. So, okay. So we want to get in these personality training with and really in training this. And this, guys, this will probably be a two-part series. But I really wanted Alexis to kind of set you guys up because I think her story is so important. Two things. Number one, it shows you what it takes, number one, to get where she's at today. Mm-hmm. Successful. What it takes. There's so many stories like that. You know, you see super successful people and they start going into it. You're like, wow. It's like, wow, I didn't know that happened. You took that and became great. Mm-hmm. Some people take that, Alexis, and they go other way, right? You could have been an alcoholic. You could have been working at these clubs, right? You could have went down that route. Next thing you know, you're in pornography. Who knows where you would have went with that if you went the other way. It's amazing that you took that and you used that as a springboard to who you are today. Maybe talk just a second about that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, everyone has a choice. You know, I think when you're a child, it's sort of not really your choice. You're a product of your environment. And then as you become an adult and more aware, you got to make a choice. What life do you want to live? Do you want to use this as, you know, your story? Do you want to be a victim of your story? Or mm-hmm. do you want to use it as a platform? And for me, Brad, I want to make a difference in people. And I couldn't do that where I was and what I was doing. And I knew that God had a calling for more for me and that everything wasn't done in vain. You know, there was a purpose and a reason. And it's so that maybe other people feel inspired to share their story, you know, and move forward through whatever they're going through, that we can use that more as a platform. And that tragedy can become, you know, part of a healing process for us to share and move through that. And yeah, I'm here to make a difference and, you know, be significant. So I want to pass that forward and pay that forward. And that was, you know, I also wanted to lead my sister. And we wanted to, we made a pact to break the generational curse. Because there were generations of drug abuse and alcohol abuse, and we did that together. And I think that vow to my sister really made a difference for me.
Powerful, powerful stuff. You know, we could end the podcast right here and have a fantastic podcast, but we got so many lessons in that, really. And I know people who are listening, maybe that's your life, and maybe you're going through it right now or something, yeah. You know what I mean? And maybe you are. So it's like, hopefully these words and what Alexis has shared with you and to see where she came in. Definitely, like she said, she's still fighting through it. I mean, you still, this is a progress, right? You're continually working on that.
Yeah. I like people to know they're not alone, because I felt so alone. And that's what I want to be here for too, is I'm here for you. I'm here with you. And, you know, I think it's, you're not alone in this, and there's a part of it that there's, you can get through it. You know, you can work through this. You can get through anything. And I was going to say something else, but I lost my train of thought because I was thinking about people and getting through things. And I have not yet arrived by any means. You know, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still healing. And, you know, relationships were a big Achilles heel for me for a really long time. And that's where my trauma showed up, you know, so if people can relate to that. That was a part that I couldn't really figure out in my life. And, you know, now I have a long-term boyfriend that's a great relationship, and we do this business together, and that is bringing healing, you know, to that part of my life too. So yeah, definitely not arrived in any way, but I am still learning. I am still growing. I mess up all the time. I say the wrong thing all the time. That's why I was nervous, because I was like, what if I say the wrong thing? But so I would love, do we have time to like do like a very like overview, and then the next one can be
okay. So if you want to do a little bit of overview, and then we can stop right there.
Okay.
And then let's give them part two next week, where you really get into, so kind of get what we're going to go into. It's almost like you're setting up the next podcast. Okay. So kind of send them up what we're going to be doing and why they should join us for the next next episode.
Okay. That would be so great. Thank you guys for, you know, listening to the story, and that, you know, it took that whole time, but hopefully you've, you know, received a lot out of it. But so personality. So like I said, very fundamental basics, a self-awareness in why you do what you do, why you don't do what you don't do. But then a social awareness, like we talked about. So an awareness of others and why they do what they do and why they ask the questions they do. But not really like to box anybody in, because we're humans and there's this human element component to us. We're unpredictable, and there's layers to this. So if people know terms out there, like the gems that we're going to go through, but there's like a DISC personality, there's Myers-Briggs and Enneagram, and, you know, some of those things that, you know, maybe expand on this personalities. But I love this, because this is the beginning, you know, this is the start of it. So I tell people to draw a cross on their paper, and, you know, each box is open-ended, so it's not a box, but it's, each one speaks a different language and they're motivated by something else, each one of them, but we do have a percentage of each of them in all of us, you know, and sometimes I've noticed that each percentage can grow as we get older, you know, or maybe we become more in tune with ourselves, or, you know, we realized we were holding on to some things that were influenced by a parent or something. So we have our left top box is an emerald, who is also very like cautious and facts and figures type personalities. Next to them on the right top side of it is a ruby, very dominant, you know, money and challenges motivated by that. Below the ruby is a sapphire, motivated by fun and people and parties. And then next to the sapphire, the last part is a pearl, very more about helping people and harmony and peace. And, you know, there's opposite personalities. There's things that, you know, on the quadrant, they might be feelers. Two of them are feelers. The top emerald and rubies are thinkers. Emeralds and pearls on the left side are very cautious and reflective. Rubies and sapphires are fast-paced and outspoken. So there's all these moving parts and different parts of it that really connect us all. But, you know, they're all, sometimes people will say, Brad, well, I'm all of them. And that's great, because it's awesome. Good. That's a good thing. But you are motivated by one thing. And maybe there's a secondary, you know, so there's a primary one, but maybe a secondary one.
Yes.
can kind of flip to at home. You know, maybe you're one at work and one at home.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, sort of a percentage of each of them, but there's definitely a primary. Because if you're motivated by facts and figures, then you're not motivated by having fun. Like you're just not going to be motivated by both, you know? But maybe there's a part of you that likes to have fun, but you're not motivated by that. So like for me being a sapphire, if I'm not having fun, I'm out. Like I don't want to do it anymore if I'm not having fun. So an emerald communication style, gem style, doesn't care about that much. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's like maybe they had a sapphire mom and they have been influenced by someone who likes to have fun and party, but they really want to know the facts and figures. They want to know the details. They want to know the gritty, they want to read the label of the products, you know? So if they don't get those facts and figures, then they're out. Yep. So those are very different, you know, just to give a little bit of a teaser for it.
Okay. That's good. No, this is good. Okay, gang. So we're going to end there. Okay. First of all, Alexis, thank you so much. And then for Sharon being transparent. I mean, I've heard a lot of that story, but there's several things I have not heard. And so, which helps me, by the way, helps me understand you so much more. And so, and even appreciate you so much more. So it's just, it's amazing, guys. It's amazing the power of a story. And you know, I do a podcast on the power of storytelling. And so a story is so powerful. So thank you for sharing with us. Excited, guys, about going to the next section. Okay, the next section, this will be part two. And we're going to get in. She's really going to get into the nitty gritty of this thing. We'll have some fun with it too. Yeah. Be a lot of fun. So tune in. Okay. Like I said, this is when you want to bring your book, get your notepad out.
Yeah,
okay,
take
some notes. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Brad.
Okay. Alrighty. Thank you, Alexis. Okay. See you on the next episode. Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And if you could think of anyone who would like to listen to this or use this, please share on your social media or text them. We would greatly appreciate that. And a final thought, there's a proverb that says, if you continually give, you will continually have. It's a perfect formula for building a significant team and a significant life. Remember, your legacy is not about what you acquire, it's about what you leave behind. Let's go have a legacy mindset.